message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
We're glad you've joined us today, and we trust that our time together in God's Word will prove a blessing and help to you. We're going to look back at Romans chapter number 6, where we've been now for a number of weeks, and we're not trying exactly to expound the text, but just to use Romans 6 as a point of departure and considering some doctrinal issues that are very critical in the Christian life and understanding of the Christian life. And maybe I should review in your mind just a moment where we are in the book of Romans. The reason we're studying the book of Romans and looking at it is we've been considering Paul's design for the edification of the believer. How the believer can be built up and established in the faith. Now, many people are not established. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4 that there are people who are tossed to and fro. That's the opposite of being established. He says that henceforth we be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. God doesn't want you to be tossed to and fro. He doesn't want you to be carried about by every wind of doctrine, every idea that floats down the pike, picking you up and carrying you away with it. He wants you to be established, to have an understanding of what's going on. You can't toss the believer. You can't deceive the believer. You can't carry away the believer who is established in the Word of God rightly divided. If you're established in the doctrine committed to us through the Apostle Paul, the words that Jesus Christ from heaven's glory committed to us through the ministry of the Apostle Paul found in Romans to Philemon in your Bible. If you're established in an understanding of that form of sound words found in those epistles, then you will not be tossed to and fro. Your life will not be an up and down disaster. You won't wind up on the wreck and the wreckage and the carnage of life. You will be safe from the sleight of men, the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, trying to corrupt you from the simplicity of God's grace to you in Christ. But my friend, if you're not established in the doctrine communicated to you by the Apostle Paul, you're going to be tossed to and fro. You're going to be caught in the satanic policy of evil designed to deceive the members of the body of Christ and to snare them with cunning craftiness and to corrupt you from the simplicity that's in Christ with another gospel and another spirit and even another Jesus. And that's not necessarily a false Jesus or a false gospel. It's another one. That is not the Word of God rightly divided, but to take some other program, even a program scriptural maybe, but just not dispensationally appropriate for us today. Now it's important that you and I be established. Paul writes the book of Romans to lay down foundational doctrine, the foundational principles of grace upon which you and I can plant our feet firmly. You remember the whole armor of God in Ephesians 6. He talks about the soldier's feet being nailed down, as it were, in the preparation of the gospel of peace. It's not talking about the proclamation of it. It's talking about the preparation, having the foundation firmly fixed. Well, the way you get your life stabilized is to get your feet on solid ground. Not on slippery, but solid ground, firm ground. The way you do that in the Bible, spiritually speaking, is to get the doctrine, the foundation doctrine of the book of Romans. Now, Romans is in four sections. There are four foundation principles of grace. The first we've already studied, Romans 1-5, justification by grace through faith plus nothing. You need to understand what it is to be justified by the finished work of Jesus Christ at Calvary. You need to understand the finality of the cross. You need to understand that Jesus Christ, when He died at Calvary, put away all of sin for all of time, and He did it completely. He did enough, and He did it for you. You need to understand the reality of the resurrection, that He was raised again for our justification, that the resurrection of Jesus Christ says that the work at Calvary was finished. Death couldn't hold Him because He put away sin, and the wages of sin is death. So there is the finality of the cross work and the reality of the everlasting life that God gives us in His Son when we trust Him. Now, when you get to Romans chapter 6, he's going to take those two realities of the finality of the cross and the reality of the resurrection, and he's going to apply them not just to our justification and acceptance and standing before God, this new identity that we have before God, but he's going to explain to us the details of how that new identity and the equipping that God has given us relate to our life in time. Not only do we have everlasting life that will get us through for all eternity, but that life is ours right now. God has left us here on planet Earth and equipped us completely and totally to live victoriously as ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. God didn't leave me here or you here as a believer just to have a nice, sweet, safe life, to bank all you can and have a retirement life that's sweet and wonderful and all that kind of. A nice, sweet, pleasant little life that goes through life. That isn't it at all. He left us here to be good soldiers. He left us here to be His representatives. He left us here with good works, which He before the world began ordained that the body of Christ should perform. He left us here as those who are to perform those good works. You say, but boy, I don't know if I can do all that. He's equipped us completely and totally to do that. And that's where we are in Romans 6. We're trying to discover some things about this new identity, this new creature that we are in Christ, this new person that we've been made in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why Paul goes over and over, know ye not, he says, don't you know, knowing this, knowing that, get all this stuff, understand it, know it, know what's going on here. Understand the victory program God has given us and made us a part of in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's really important to understand the impact of the resurrected life of Christ living in us has in our lives day in and day out. And there's something I with regard to that I want you to see. He says in Romans 6:3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death. And I've talked to you about the fact that when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, His death at Calvary. And somebody says, well, Brother Rick, you draw that up there a lot. Yeah, I do. On our tapes, in fact, one of the brothers made a logo, and it had to do with the cross. And I draw that because that's you know what it is, and it represents what I'm talking about. When He died at Calvary, you and I died with Him. We were buried with Him. We were raised with Him. And He says that, know ye not that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ. When you were placed into the church, the body of Christ, when you were placed into living oneness with Jesus Christ over here, everything that belonged to Him, all of His history, became your history. As many of us as were baptized into Christ, and again, that's not a water baptism. When Paul says there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. The moment you trusted Jesus Christ, God the Holy Ghost put you into living union with Christ. God Himself, that instant, baptized you into Christ. Now, you don't need somebody to come along and give you a water ceremony in order to make you complete. When He put you in Christ, He made you complete. Blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. All you need to do is find out about what God's given you and walk by faith in Him. You don't need to do anything to gain anymore. You already were given the new identity. You don't need anybody to come along with a water ceremony. You don't need somebody to come back. You see, that's going back here to Israel's program in time past and trying to make you act like somebody you're not. You don't need someone to come along and try to put a baptism with the Holy Ghost on you. You don't need somebody to come and take you back to Pentecost and get the baptism with the Holy Spirit, with speaking in tongues and all those kind of things. You don't need that. You already have the one baptism. You don't need somebody to go back, you know, now they got people out going to get you the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire, you know. And the fire baptism, they claim, is eradicating the old sin nature and all that and burning out. No. There's one baptism, and you got it. God gave it to you the moment you got saved. Now, maybe you're like I was. Maybe you're part of a religion that didn't understand that. And when I got saved, there were some good people, and I loved them. In fact, they were my relatives. came around and said, now you need to get this other baptism. You need to get baptized in water, and you need to go over here and get this other baptism, this one, this other one, this kind of stuff. And they didn't sit down and say, you know, when you trusted Christ, God put you in His Son, and now Jesus Christ is everything. His life is in you, and His righteousness is yours, and you're complete. They didn't begin to explain all that to me. It was only when I got into the Bible and found out what God said in the Word of God, rightly divided, that those things began to be a reality. Because you see, it's the Word of God that works in us that is the issue. So we find out that we've been crucified with Him, raised with to walk in newness of life. All of that took place when God put us in Christ. There's a lot more too, but that's just the beginning here in Romans chapter 6. Now, as you're equipped by virtue of your identification with Christ in His death and resurrection, in the finality of what He did at Calvary being a reality and putting away the old and the life of Christ coming in and putting His life in us to live His life through us for His glory. When we do that, there's an issue of our life in time here and the sustaining power of that. Come with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 in one hand and Romans chapter number 8. And the two passages of Scripture here that I want you to see. And I hope you get your Bible and study along with us and look at the verses, because it's real important not just to sit there passively. You know, you watch television and you get real passive sometime. It's a passive activity, and you watch murders and you watch all kind of violence and you watch all kind of sexual gratification, and you watch all kind of mind games being played. Then you watch the game shows, you know, and sometimes you play along with them, you know, but you don't have to risk anything. Well, I trust as you watch our program here and you study with us that you'll get a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, if you'll write me, we'll see you get one. But if you'll get a Bible and look at the verses, because as you look at the verses in the Bible, they have an impact on your life and your thinking that just hearing them doesn't. It's good to see them. It's the written Word of God that impacts on your soul. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 7, "For we have this treasure in earthen vessels." That is, we have this wonderful life that God has given us in Christ, but we have it in a body of flesh, in an earthen vessel. Now, you know what an earthen, that's like a clay pot. It's very fragile. It's not steel and made out of something that can't be impregnated or broken. It's fragile kind of a thing. And it's a humble kind of a thing. It's not gold and silver, just an old clay pot. Why? Why would God do that? Why would He put the excellence of His power in failing creatures like us, seemingly? That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You see, the reason it isn't what we go do, it's what God did for us in Christ, is so that Jesus Christ can be the issue. You know what's so wonderful about the message of grace? Somebody says grace is God's riches at Christ's expense, and that's good. Grace is all that God is free to do for you because of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's better. You know what's so wonderful about grace is it makes Jesus Christ everything. He's all I need. And when I got Him, I got everything God has for me. And my Christian life isn't me striving and me working and me doing. It's what He's doing in me and through me for His glory. So we have this treasure, this ministry, this identity, these spiritual riches in earthen vessels, so that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Then he goes on to talk about life. He says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Can I tell you that life's full of trouble? The book of Job says, man that's born of woman is born of trouble, as the sparks fly upward. Just a natural occurrence in life. We take a testimony here today. Somebody like to stand up and give us a testimony and say, preacher, I don't have any problems in life. Life's going wonderful. There's not any problems at all. No difficulties, no heartaches, no setbacks. Things going wonderful. Have a meeting like that, how many testimonies you reckon you'd get? Well, you wouldn't get too many, would you? No, we're troubled on every side. But there's victory. because the trouble doesn't distress us. We're perplexed. We don't always know what to do, but we're not in despair. The perplexity doesn't destroy us. We're persecuted. People turn on us, but not forsaken. Cast down. Did you ever get depressed? Yeah, but not destroyed. Not just busted to pieces. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Why? That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal bodies. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. Why? That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. You see, God has chosen to manifest His life, His power, in the lives of believers today. The way God manifests His power in the dispensation of grace is not by going out and manipulating and intervening and changing the circumstances of life externally. It's to work inside of you and me, and to give us power and strength in the inner man that comes from His life living in us. We're delivered unto death. We're constantly placed in situations in life, my friend, where our abilities aren't going to get us through it. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in us. You see, it's His life living in us that gives our life and time purpose and meaning and direction. Romans chapter number 8, there's a passage where Paul details this. Romans chapter 8, verse number 18. Paul says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God." Now, one day, Jesus Christ is going to come back out here, and when He does, He's going to take all of creation, and He's going to liberate it from the curse of sin. Sin entered in back in the garden of Eden back here, and God cursed the creation because of sin. And the creation has grown in travail. Keep reading. Verse 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails together in pain, groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. The creation itself is made subject to vanity. That's the reason change and decay, the hymn writer said, and all about I see. But one day, Jesus Christ is going to come, and He's going to take away the curse of sin, even from creation. And He's going to deliver it all into the glorious liberty of the children of God. But that thing hadn't come yet. That comes when the King comes. When the King comes back and sets up His kingdom, then all of the curse of sin, the sorrow and the sighing, will flee away. Physical infirmities and natural calamities and all of the heartaches that come with them and all of the confusion and all the contamination brought by sin will be done away with in that day. Paul said, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time aren't worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. You know what he's saying? He's saying that the little problems we have now are nothing. They aren't even worth the time to think about when you put a knowledge and understanding about what God's going to do with us out there in the ages to come. When you understand the doctrine from the Word of God, the sound doctrine about what God's going to do with you out there, he said, boy, when that fills your mind, a couple of little problems along the way here are just bumps on the road that don't mean a thing. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal way to glory. He says, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. How is it renewed? by an understanding of that stuff out there, by the doctrine working in us, by us being strengthened by His Spirit in the inner man, based upon a walk of faith, Christ dwelling in our hearts by faith in what the doctrine says in the book. Do you understand why it's so important to get in the book and get the book in you? Now, it doesn't help to have denominational doctrine in you. You can get whatever denomination you want to name and form that in you, and all you got is that denomination formed in you. But my friend, you get God's grace from the Word of God rightly divided formed in you. Then you have Christ formed in you. Now you notice he says in verse 22 here in Romans 8, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." Now, I know that's a lot different than what you hear a lot of preaching on TV and radio and churches. I understand they talk to you about, well, right now, if you claim your healing, you can get healed and you can get rid of your sickness and your disease and all that stuff right now, and that you ought to have it right now, and if you had faith, you could do it right now and all that stuff. And all they do is tell you to have faith in your faith. But we're not talking about faith in your faith. We're talking about faith in the words on the page in the King James Bible. We're talking about words, faith in what God says. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And what God says is that right now, we know by our experience of just living that we groan and that the whole creation groans and travails in pain. You're going to grunt, you're going to groan, you're going to hurt, and if the Lord tarries, you're going to die. And you know how all this so-called healing and deliverance ministries go. The death rate is still one apiece. And you can gather crowds of 10, 15, 100,000. You can get millions of people to agree with you, and the death rate's still one apiece. You see, we know by our experience and common lot in life that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now, and not only they, the verse says, but we ourselves also, which have us saved people that have the first fruits of the Spirit, we're going to go through the same physical groaning. Why? Because the time of deliverance from all that is over there in that kingdom when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back to deliver the creation into the times of refreshing. In order for that to come, the dispensation of grace has to be brought to a conclusion. If God extends the day of grace one more day, what does He do? He delays that one more day. If He extends the day of grace another 10 years or 50 years or 2,000 years as He has, you know what that means? That means the deliverance for creation has to wait until now God's extended His day of grace. Aren't you glad He let it get to you? I am. But you know what that means? That means if He extends it, you and I are going to groan and travail and suffer and go the way of all flesh. And you say, well, what about that? He says, our light afflictions, which are but for a moment, work for us a far more exceeding and eternal way to glory. You see, what God has done is He has equipped us now with a capacity that even in that seemingly death-working situation, the life of Jesus Christ lives out through us. How does it do that? Folks, as you walk by faith in what God says, the reality is in His Word. And the reality is not a physical reality. Looking out here at our physical circumstances to see the power of God. It isn't saying, Lord, heal my body, or change my financial status, or move someone out of my life, or bring someone into my life in order for me to know that You love me and that you're working in my behalf. What faith does is it looks to Calvary. And it says, but God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You want to see how much God loves you? Look at Calvary. And see where He took the weight and the load and the burden of your sin and suffered eternal wrath and damnation for you. The eternal Son of God was an eternal sacrifice for you, to prove and demonstrate His love for you. then God raised him from the dead. He was declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. You'll see the power of God. Watch the power of God break the bonds of counsel, sin, and set him free and deliver him from death. You know what the answer to death is? Life. And Jesus Christ gives life. The answer is ours. The victory is ours in him. You want to know God's love? You want to see God working in your behalf? You want to see God intervene in history in an event for you? Look right there. And you look anywhere else, and that's to say the cross isn't enough. You know what we try to tell you week after week right here? We try to show you the verses in the Bible so you understand that Jesus Christ is enough. What he's done for you at Calvary by his grace is enough. This is an age of mercy. God's mercy and his grace and his goodness to you. Great grace and great mercy and great love. His great love when he loved us. My friend, all of that's God's love, his value for you is not tied to your physical circumstances. It's not tied to your romantic life or your financial status, good or bad, or your health. It's tied to one thing. And that's what Jesus Christ did at Calvary. Never let anyone diminish the value that God places in his Son. And my friend, you and I need to appreciate who God has made us in him. Because in him, we've been made complete. And it's in Christ that he always causes us to triumph. And has made us more than conquerors in him that loved us and gave himself for us. I trust you trust him today. Till next time, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape that I'd like you to have to go along with today's study. The tape is entitled, Power in Suffering. It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at The Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during regular business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request tape offer number 258. That's tape offer number 258. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us here today. If our study together has been a help to you, we're happy to put you in touch with a Bible study in this area where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His rightly divided Word. And friend, if you are still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know. I'll be happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. That address again is The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until we meet next time for another Message of Grace.